All right, guys. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Can I get a little motivation, a little energy? I want you to be excited with me. This is Juan Santos over at Counselor's Journey, and we are going to dive into another episode all about teaching you mental health professionals how to A, start, B, grow, C, scale a six-figure counseling private practice without feeling overwhelmed. Let's do it. Let's dive into the episode. So, check this out. Where are you at in hiring a counselor? You got one, you got two, you're thinking about it, you got more you need to hire. I thought it'd be neat to do an episode where we open up that door and we talk about hiring a counselor. And as we do that, here's what I'm going to really bring in. I'm going to bring in my experience. I'm going to bring in my experience with being a being a student. A student meaning that I am the one as a practice owner hiring consultants, plural, that have supported me with that. I'll bring in some of that knowledge as well as what I've read, what I've learned through different mastermind engagements. So let's break bread. Let's break bread. But before we do, I want to share something funny with you. So if you don't know, I'm from the Dominican Republic. My first language is Spanish. Hola, buenos dias. And there's a song called Despacito. And you may already know where I'm going with this. My kids are learning. They're learning Spanish. So we'll leave it at that. There's some words they know. And some words, of course, that they don't know. So my son, he's in the car with me, and the song Despacito is on, and he's like, "I like this." And then he's like, "Daddy, do you know what it means?" And I say, "Yeah." So then he's just laying back, and he's seven. He's laying back and listening to it. And I'm sure some of you think, maybe you're thinking, is that appropriate? We're gonna hold off on that conversation. And he's listening to it. So on there has got Luis Fonsi and featuring Daddy Yankee, and he goes, "Dad, Dad, what's it about?" And I go, "That's a good question." I said, "Let me think on it." And I thought on it for a moment. I didn't break it down to him exactly what it was about, but I found it really interesting that, and this is why I want to share it. I found it interesting that he enjoyed the song. So I asked him, I said, "Well, what do you like about the song?" Because the language, he wasn't picking up on it. And he goes, "Well, I like the way the music is. And I like the sounds." And I thought that was such a great question, a great answer. I told him, and we talked a little bit about it before getting home. We're heading home from basketball practice. That I like music in very similar ways where, I'm focused on the sound and the noises around, and not always the lyrics. And now on a funny note, I did think about breaking it down for him, but I said, no, that's going to be a bit, at least for me, for where I'm at in my parenting journey, a bit much there. Now, without further ado, the topic for today on a Counselor's Journey podcast, which side note, I'm drinking a lot of coffee, so my energy is kind of up. I am thinking about, and this is just a thought, I'd love your input on it though. I'm thinking about changing the name of the podcast. Let me know what you think about that. And the way you could let me know is, and this is me, I'm also going to try to get a review from you. I'd love to get a 5-star review from you to help grow this channel and just really blow it up so that counselors everywhere who are struggling and need a little bit of support, right? A little bit of help, a little bit of ayuda, which means help in Spanish, can be part of the community. So get on there. If you listen on Apple, hop on Apple. If you listen on Spotify, wherever you listen to, my friend, hop on it. It takes 5 seconds. And it goes a long way. Put a good 5 stars on there and then let me know. Say, "Juan, keep the name. Juan, change it." And if you think I should change it, I want some ideas. Break them down for me. Let's pause here for a moment before we go into the actual episode itself. I was talking to a colleague about growing a counseling business, and we talked about this area of like getting reviews and how challenging it is. And I told him, it was a guy named Jeff. So we'll use his name. I told Jeff, I said, Jeff, you know, if we had like a bar, right, or a bookstore, or a coffee shop, I bet reviews would be out the window. Some good, some not so good. And I said, man, you know, what would life be like years from now when it gets to this position of just mental health, you know, where somebody goes on there, hey, I went to this counseling practice, and I'll tell you what, right before I got here, I was anxious as shit. You know, my anxiety was out the roof, and they really helped. You know, I went there for about 10 sessions. It's helped a lot. I feel better. You know, I'm sleeping better. If you are not sleeping well, hit them up, schedule with them. 5 stars, right? How neat would that be to see something like that? And I just think over the years, you know, if we go back to our past and we look at all the years before us, there's so much stigma, right? And taboo and judgment, right? Judgment. There was a couple I worked with, and it just, you know, as I say judgment, it brings that up. And they told me, they were like, you know, Dr. Santos, we were under the topic of support system and accountability. I was encouraging them within the relationship that it can be really helpful to surround themselves with other peers that live lives in a similar manner to that in which they want to live or they want to reach, you know. So if they want to read more, find people that read, right? And they broke it down for me, and they were like, we talk about therapy with our friends. And I go, do you? And they're like, yeah, like we're very open about it. You know, over the weekend, we told them that we had an appointment coming up with you. And they were just sharing about that. And they, one of the partners, she said, you know, are you curious why? She didn't say it that way. She said, do you want to know why? It's kind of like that. I said, sure. And they brought up accountability. They also brought up that they noticed that that's helped their friends. And I was like, that's really deep, you know, and it makes sense. I think a lot of us do it in different ways. You know, I know that when I'm hanging out with different counselors, I may share what podcasts I listen to or what books I've read. I had a buddy I was hanging out with the other day, and he wasn't doing too hot. And I told him, I said, you know, I read Man's Search for Meaning a while back when I was, you know, kind of in a tough spot. And that one really stuck out to me. So that's me practicing that, right? Me sharing, here's a space that I'm in, something that I've done to help me. And it's a way to pull and support someone, right? So I share that with you. Of course, if you got time, which I know you got a little bit of time, right? Leave a review for me. I'd really appreciate that from my heart to yours. For today's topic on hiring a counselor, let's look at this, and this is what I've learned. I'm going to call this best practice, though I don't think there's like a book out there for best practice for it. One place that I really encourage you to balance well is hiring from your gut and hiring strategically, which can be very different. You know, I'm one of those. I'll tell you that when I'm hiring somebody, I got to be careful with my gut. Because I could be in there and cracking up and laughing and be like, man, this person's a great person. And then my wife often interviews with me. She's or later when we're talking, she's like, okay, well, you know, we got to do another interview because we didn't ask any clinical questions. And I'm over here ready to hire. And then she's like, slow down, you know, take it easy, slow down. But that tells you, right? That tells you my own awareness that I have to be very cautious and very aware that whenever I'm hiring somebody, it can't always be just from that gut, because the gut can steer me in the wrong direction. And this is how, when it comes to hiring, I may feel really great about somebody, but if I don't know enough of like their clinical depth, that's another important part, right? Because me feeling great about them means that maybe within our work culture, we're going to get along and, you know, have great things to talk about and so forth. The other end is I'm hiring them for a job, and the job requires that they're in a clinical space and provide treatment to someone. So then I need to evaluate that as well. That was the first one I want to share with you. Just be aware of your own gut and your own instinct, and then have that balanced. So when we go into balance, the things that I want you to keep an eye on is the needs of the practice. You know, before you jump into hiring somebody, clearly, you know, like you can see a fish through a tank, clearly outline what is this individual going to do, their role, their responsibilities, what skills do you need them to have, what qualifications do you need them to have, what experience do you need them to have. And then really tie that in where it's selective to, as an example, I need them to be a psychologist so they can engage in blank assessments, or I need them to be an associate level clinician because I want them to be open to learning how to engage in working with children, utilizing play therapy in a similar manner to that of the structure of the business that you've built, right? So there's unique things you want to think about. What can take place, of course, is you can have this practice, and let's say you have a practice that you work with kids, and your practice is known for a unique way of working with kids. A challenge is that if you skip some of these parts when you're hiring, you may bring in, and we're just going to use an example here, top-level clinician, 15 years in the field, really known, maybe stuck in their ways, not in a negative manner, but in a manner of they trust their way. So when they come in and you're sharing them, hey, here's the rules to my board game, they're going, whoa, I've already got rules to my board game, and they've been working. I'm just going to come into your board game and use my rules, right? So that's where things can be complicated. I found it really effective when hiring that to address the practice needs and to be very selective, you can utilize case studies. So this kind of takes us back to grad school, right? You remember your theories class in graduate school? So in a theories class, often what takes place is that you may go into like Adlerian, Jung, you may go into existentialism, you may go into one of those areas, and then often you're asked to write some sort of case conceptualization where you look at cultural factors, ethics, and so forth. So here, I like to do something very similar, which does extend that interview process, but right, it also helps you. Right, it increases the likelihood that you're going to have somebody with a good fit. So what you're doing here is you're providing this case and you're giving it to them, and then you're kind of seeing what comes back from it. The other area to look at when hiring is time, right? So if you've got your practice, it's important for you to think about where's this person going to be plugged in. Do you need them in the morning? Do you need them in the afternoon, on a weekend? And are they really aware of what they're signing up for? So that's something that you really want to keep an eye on. I've been in a situation where that didn't go too hot. And in my example was, you know, somebody's coming in and they're sharing that they can work in the evenings and they can work weekends. And next thing I know, as they're, you know, pulling in and doing the case, they're highlighting the opposite. Hey, I'm not able to do that. I like to come in more towards the earlier part of the day. And then that makes it a challenge because at that point, you've already invested in this individual. So then kind of working forward, working backwards. To address it, have those clear conversations early on. And, you know, here's a little nugget that I actually learned through my own consulting. Have benchmarks that you engage in. So most, you know, jobs out there in society have performance reviews, right? So that's where you can have these benchmarks with individuals, meaning that you hire someone and you can share with them at the 9-month mark or at the 1-year or 15-month mark, we're going to come back and have this conversation again. And that could be a point where we talk about adjusting schedule. So this way, the individual clearly understands, okay, I'm being hired for the morning shift, which is, I don't know, 7 a.m. till noon, blank days. And in 9 months from now, I can sit back down with my employer and then we can have a conversation on making a shift there. All right. So I'm hoping that part makes sense as far as how you can carry that out. Within the same conversation, and you know, this is something I see skipped consistently. And I honestly think it goes into just the how small often mental health practices are compared to like this huge hospital, right? That has an abundance of staff. So one hole or one gap that I consistently find when it comes to hiring is that there is a lack of ongoing training and ongoing reviews. Reviews mean reviews connect to like accountability, so that if you hire a counselor, right, things that you're wanting to really have in their foundation is are they supposed to have gone through a certain amount of trainings within a certain amount of time of being hired? Or and if they have, how do you evaluate that they actually went through it and that it's effective, right? That they're carrying it out. Second, how are you evaluating performance? And if you're evaluating performance, is it solely based on them, or do you include those that they work with, right? So here you can get really creative and include surveys within your organization that you give to clients that focus on feedback from them, and then that information you can correlate. So now it makes it strategic with what you're doing, and the data makes a little more sense. It's not as objective. It's a little more subjective there. The other is, are there going to be ongoing reviews? And if you are reviewing items with the employee, what are you reviewing? You know, is it, hey, you're doing a good job? Based on what? What does that even mean? And then with it, what's the conversation on benefits, on raises? How are you going to carry all of those out? Last one here, that I think is an important one. I saved the last one. I think is one of the best ones is. When you're hiring, da 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 da. You know what that reminded me of? This is my brain's going on the side here. I remember Eminem. Remember da 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 da. I just forget the next part of what he says. Is it da 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 da? And I'm Slim Shady. It's something like that. you're learning a lot about me, aren't you? Back in middle school, I was a big Slim Shady fan. 'Cause I'm Slim Shady and I'm the real. Right, that was. I even had the cargo shorts and the Slim Shady gear. I mean, I was about it. All right, so this section here, right, that's important when hiring, retention ability, right? The clinician's retention ability is vital because you could hire someone and you know they could really put it all out there on the resume, on the CV, great interview. But you got to think about the infrastructure of your business because, and it's going to strategy here. Strategy has to do with numbers. Let's say that your marketing, I don't know, in your initial investment, let's say your initial investment is like for an employee is 5,000, and then let's say on marketing you're spending an additional 30 to 100, maybe even more dollars. Well, what if this counselor that you've hired, this clinician, what if they're really struggling with retention? You know, they see a client, but one session that doesn't, and then there's not a second, or they do two, but there's not a third. How do you address it, right? How would you address it? How would you improve upon that area? What training goes into it? And when you're hiring, how do you assess that, right? Of course, it could be through questions telling about your past experience, and then you can go a little bit more in depth there where they break down those experiences for you. Bam, something to think about. You know, there's a skit from Kevin Hart, and he goes, sometimes, I think it's Kevin Hart, sometimes life is good, sometimes it's not. And that one right now has stuck out to me because I'm having a really great time on the podcast here with you on a counselor's journey. It's fun, it's enjoyable, it's a way to give, right? Give time, give energy, give experience so that you can do well in your life and in your business. And then sometimes life can be challenging and it can be difficult and it leaves you questioning, man, why are things going this way? So I want to leave you with warmth. I want to leave you with kindness. And I want you to know that you're doing great. Right? You're investing in yourself. And that's important, right? You teach that to all the clients that you work with, the importance of investment. So you're doing that. Right, you're not just preaching, you're doing. Right? You're not just saying it. You're walking the talk and talking the walk. You're doing all of it. Make sure you remember that and you hold that with you. I'll see you, right? I'll see you. Yes, you'll see me. We'll talk. Well, I'll talk, you'll listen in the next episode. As you head out today, guys, I want you to give yourself a big old hug, a big old high five, because listen, you're doing it. You're taking time out of your day to build your six-figure private practice. You are tapping into ambition. You're tapping into curiosity, and you're doing it here together. We're holding hands. We're walking on this journey, a private practice journey. Before you head off, do me a kindness. Leave me a review. Let me know what you think about this episode. Let me know which episode really stuck out to you. Which one made you go, yes, I need to start doing a little bit more of that. Or yes, I am doing that and I'm proud of myself for doing that. I am seeing amazing changes. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to growing together on our journey.